today. The story behind the Gatwick drone, one of the UK's strangest unsolved crimes. It's December 2018, and journalist Samira Shackle is on a plane heading towards London Gatwick.
Please review the safety card found in your seat bucket as it contains...
So I had been in Pakistan reporting back-to-back every day for about 2.5 weeks and was just really eager to get home.
Unbeknownst to her, she was about to fly into the middle of one of the biggest news stories of the year.
And had been travelling for about 12 hours or so, I think, and was sort of half asleep. Kind of woke up groggily and thought, oh, we should probably be landing about now. And there was an announcement, we're unable to land at Gatwick because drone activity has been reported. And I kind of thought, what on earth does that mean? Did they really just say there were drones? I genuinely thought I might have hallucinated it.
But Samira wasn't hallucinating. She was one of thousands of passengers whose flights were delayed or cancelled completely by a drone sighting at Gatwick Airport that caused days of chaos. Were you ever worried?
I was definitely a bit unnerved. There was such a scarcity of news and you just, you know, really have no idea what's going on. Is this going to be something really bad?
Samira's plane was eventually diverted to Heathrow. But ever since, she's been trying to find out what really happened in the skies above Gatwick.
I was kind of obsessed with it from then. It was this huge news event.
Shut down. All flights halted tonight.
Gatwick, after Britain's second busiest airport.
A major travel hub in chaos.
Led broadcasts and newspaper coverage for days and days and days.
Disruptive activity.
50 times today.
10,000 passengers.
Thousands of people stranded.
The chaos at Gatwick.
Chaos.
Two drones were...
Drone scares.
It's unprecedented anywhere in the world.
A deliberate act.
And then after a few weeks, it was like it just disappeared. Almost like the authorities were sort of expecting people to just collectively forget that this mad thing had ever happened.
And you were like, I will not let this stand.
Yes, exactly.
To this day, no one has ever claimed responsibility for the incident. From The Guardian, I'm Rachel Humphreys. Today in Focus, the mystery of the Gatwick drone. Samira, this story begins on the 19th of December, 2018. Tell me about the first sighting of the drone.
Yeah, so there was an airport security officer had just finished his shift and was at a bus stop on site waiting to go home and saw two drones. One was hovering over a vehicle that was inside the airport and the other was flying alongside the perimeter fence. And within minutes, the message had been relayed to senior management.
All flights in and out of Gatwick have been suspended.
And the runway had been closed.
Near 10,000 passengers have been affected, with many facing long delays.
Why did they close the runway so quickly for something as small as a drone?
So it's considered a danger for two main reasons. One is the risk of collision.
A nightmare situation for pilots and passengers. A drone striking a plane at high altitude... And
the metal parts or the battery could cause damage.
Dayton shows a worst case and unlikely scenario.
There's a bit of debate about how much damage it could cause and what size the drone would need to be and so on.
But there have been several near misses, with drones coming within a few feet of commercial aircraft.
And if a pilot sees a drone and tries to divert the aircraft, then that evasive activity could also cause danger.
Vincent, I understand the airport authorities have said that this drone flying was a deliberate act. What more do we know?
And the other is the risk of terror attack. So just 18 months earlier had been the Manchester Arena attack. There'd been numerous attacks all over Europe.
Armed British police rushed to London Bridge this
Saturday. Deadly truck attack in Sweden.
Incident in Barcelona, which has the hallmarks, it appears, of yet another terrorist attack.
And... there are fears about drones being used in this way. So at that point, there had already been reports that ISIS had used consumer drones to drop grenades in Iraq and that Russian separatist forces had used drones similarly to drop grenades on Ukrainian government trenches. So I think there was a sort of general anxiety about terrorism. So I think that was immediately a big fear as well.
I mean, after that sighting, how did the police and airport security respond? What did they do?
So they snapped into action pretty quickly.
I've got over 20 units from Surrey and Sussex and from the airport.
Within the next half hour, 20 different vehicles of police and airport security drove around the airport with their lights flashing and sirens blaring.
To try and bring this situation to a close.
And that didn't work.
So at the moment, we're still getting sightings of the drone in and around the airfield.
Within that half hour, six more sightings had been logged by the Gatwick Control Centre, and five of them came from the police officers who were driving around, so it didn't work.
Oh, right, OK, so there were quite a few more sightings that night.
He's coming over your head. Over your head.
Yes, from police and airport staff and passengers and so on. There were in the region of 170 sightings reported overall, and the police sort of deemed later that 115 of those were credible.
More than 110,000 passengers saw their travel plans disrupted.
And what was happening inside the airport?
Honestly, I'm so gutted, I can't even begin to. I had been looking forward to this for so long.
There were thousands of passengers who were waiting to set off, so this was just before Christmas.
Christmas is basically ruined, so I don't know.
It's my daughter's birthday today, so
lots of families with really, really distressed children.
And all the lives that are affected today.
Vincent, what's the latest there? How chaotic is the situation?
By midnight, there'd been 58 flights that were diverted or cancelled.
It's very chaotic. Gatwick is...
But they hadn't had any drone sightings reported for about an hour, so they tried to reopen the runway.
We reopened at 3 a.m. for 45 minutes, but then the drone reappeared again.
There'd be sightings again and it would have to shut again.
So the airport is closed now. There is a drone on the airfield as we speak.
And that was a pattern that then continued throughout the night.
You know, this has been going on for 10 hours now.
As that day went on, the tone slightly changed on social media because it seemed a bit ridiculous. It was like they kept trying to reopen the runway.
The drone disappears. When we look to reopen the airfield, the drone reappears.
And it started to seem a bit kind of, I don't know, almost like a kind of Benny Hill running round and round in circles. So they really felt like they were being taunted.
So I'm absolutely convinced it's a deliberate act to disrupt Gatwick Airport.
To the extent that staff and police were speculating that whoever was operating the drones might have access to the flight radar system or they were somehow listening into police or airport communications.
Sussex police have wanted to clarify that they do not believe that this is terror-related.
And then they ruled out that this is terror-related, but they did say it was definitely a deliberate act to disrupt the airport.
We understand that police have made a formal request to the Ministry of Defence for military assistance to deal with the gap.
And then the military was drafted in when it basically still hadn't stopped.
The British military now going in. Their specialised equipment, it's hoped, could down the industrial-type device.
So around 6 p.m. on that next day, military trucks arrived at Gatwick with an anti-drone system that's designed for battlefield operation. And they installed it on the roof of the South Terminal. So this is a system that can track and disable drones by jamming the radio frequency that connects the drone to its controller.
And did that stop the drones?
Well, so that system would be able to track drones and it didn't pick anything up.
Right.
Just in the past few minutes, they'd come back to us and said that the emergency, the suspension has now been ended.
In the end, Smira, how long did this go on for?
It went on for 33 hours. That's how long the airport was closed for. The runway reopened for the 10th time, and it turned out to be the final time.
It provided us with reassurance necessary that it is safe to reopen our airfield.
And what was the damage to Gatwick Airport?
More than 1,000 flights were cancelled. More than 140,000 passengers were affected. It cost airlines around £50 million. So it really did have a massive impact.
Looking back on the headlines from that Friday, the 21st of December, every single paper put this story on the front pages, saying things like, the drone wolf, how could this tiny speck in the sky ruin Christmas?
A massive operation underway to locate the mystery pilot who's been sending a drone in and out of Gatwick airspace since Wednesday night.
I mean, there was huge pressure on the police to find out who was behind this.
Are you confident that you will locate the operator of that drone?
I'm convinced we will. It's a painstaking...
Who was initially suspected and why?
Well, the kind of working theories were firstly that it was an environmental group, and then no environmental group emerged to take responsibility for it. So that slightly undermines that, because, you know, you would let people know what you were protesting about. Otherwise, there's no point.
You'd have thought so, yeah.
There was also the theory that it was a disgruntled ex-employee, kind of based on the fact that the drones seemed to be taunting staff and that they were flying in and out and between buildings and seemed to have this real knowledge of how the airport worked. And then in the absence of any kind of real leads on either of those, attention basically seemed to fall on anyone who lived near the airport and had a drone.
Two people are in custody over those drones that brought one of Europe's busiest airports to a standstill for 36 hours.
And then at about 10 p.m. on the 21st of December, 12 armed police officers stormed a house in Crawley, which is a few miles away from the airport.
Police say they've arrested two people, a 47-year-old man and a 54-year-old woman. Both are from Crawley.
And they arrested the married couple that lived there, Paul Gate and Elaine Kirk.
They haven't been charged, but they do remain in custody and are being questioned.
Paul Gate, who's an ex-soldier and a window fitter, was a model aircraft enthusiast.
That is really all the information we have at the moment.
And that seems to be why they came under suspicion. So they were held for 36 hours. Their faces were plastered all over every news outlet. The particularly memorable front page from the Mail was a big photo of the two of them with the headline, "Are these the morons who ruined Christmas?"
And after all that, it wasn't actually them, was it?
We're now hearing from Sussex Police that two people arrested in conjunction with the widespread disruption of flights at Gatwick have been released without charge.
So, not only had they been at work while the drones were flying, they didn't actually have a drone. Paul Gate had a collection of remote-controlled helicopters, but they didn't have a drone.
Yeah, I'm fine.
They were released without charge and came home to absolute hordes of reporters outside their house. They gave a very tearful statement.
As you can probably imagine, we are feeling completely violated. Our home has been searched and our privacy and identity completely exposed. We are deeply distressed, as are our family and friends, and we are currently receiving medical care.
And in the time since, the Sussex Police settled out of court with them and awarded them £200,000 in damages and legal fees for their wrongful arrest.
So not a great result for Sussex Police. And one thing I do remember about this story was that the investigation wasn't only not going very well in the days after the event, but was also becoming a bit of a joke, wasn't it?
Yeah, it had become a bit of a joke. And it was kind of amazing how quickly that happened, I think, when it had first been seen as this hugely kind of sinister, terrifying event, and it turned into something kind of funny in the national consciousness quite quickly. And that was really enforced by some contradictory police statements that came out in the following days.
Are you even considering the possibility that there may not have been genuine drone sightings in the first place?
Jason Tingley of Sussex Police publicly expressed what lots of people were thinking when he said,
"We cannot discount the possibility that there may have been no drone at all, but actually..."
Wow, so even the police at this stage were saying there was no drone at all.
Yeah, and he was alluding to the fact that there wasn't any hard evidence, which I think is quite a fair statement, actually, and that, you know, eyewitness reports are notoriously unreliable.
We'll say that they have seen a drone or something that looks like a drone in the sky.
And it didn't go down very well. So the next day, Sussex Police released a statement that reiterated that sightings were at the forefront of their investigation, so kind of contradicting what he'd said. And a few days after that, Giles York, who's the Sussex Police Chief Constable, went on the Today programme.
We're joined now from Brighton by Giles York, who's Chief Constable of Sussex Police. Good morning.
Good morning, Martha.
And he said he was absolutely certain that a drone was flying throughout the period the airport was closed.
So your officer, who said we cannot discount the possibility that there may have been no drone at all, he got that wrong, did he?
What he was trying to describe was an investigative approach that says, how do we prove the drone was there in the first instance? I'm absolutely certain the presence of the drone was there. We had 100...
So that just added to the chaos, didn't it? The idea there might not have been one.
Certainly that was amplified at the time.
115 of the sightings had been corroborated and that 92 of them had come from credible people. So that's police and airport staff. But he inadvertently muddied the water even further when he referred to the possible confusion with Sussex Police's own drone.
One of the other things is, of course, we will have launched our own Sussex Police drones at the time with a view to investigate, with a view to engage, with a view to survey the area looking for that drone.
Okay, so people may
so
have
there
got
could
that confused.
Be some level of confusion there as well, Martha.
But as a consequence of your...
I mean, I've never conducted a police investigation into hunting down a drone, but sending up more drones sounds potentially... like something that could complicate the issue. It all sounds like it was going a bit UFO by this point.
It's funny you say that because I've been getting some messages from UFO people who are annoyed I didn't talk about that possibility.
Maybe that's your follow-up, Laurie.
Yes.
This case then drew a huge amount of attention to drones and the laws surrounding their use. Are there any restrictions in the UK on flying a drone? And did the Gatwick fiasco change any of that?
Yeah, so before the Gatwick incident, there had already been calls for the government to look at the potential threat of drone misuse. So the British Airline Pilots Association, or BALPA, is one prominent voice in this. They'd done a big report about the possible risks of drones. About a month after the Gatwick drone incident, Parliament published the results of a major drone consultation. So the timing was coincidental. It was already in motion before. But the Gatwick incident definitely focused attention.
We're going to have to learn very quickly from what's happened. And we've put in place every measure we possibly can to ensure that this can't happen again.
So more regulation came in January 2019. So that included compulsory registration with the Civil Aviation Authority for drones that are over a certain weight. It also included greater police powers to land and seize drones.
Well, how common are incidents involving drones?
Well, there isn't great data on it. There's been a couple of high-profile incidents. Just a few months before the Gatwick drones, seven men had been jailed after using drones to fly over £500,000 worth of drugs into prisons in the Midlands and the North West.
I was at HMP Pentonville last week. They've now got patrol dogs who are barking, which helps deter drones. So we're using all kinds of solutions to deal with contraband coming into our prison.
But it's quite hard to ascertain kind of how frequent these drones are misused, basically.
This is like a flight controller.
Yeah. One of the people I met when I was researching this piece was Ian Hudson, who is a drone enthusiast.
And then you've got a range of sensors.
On a very, very windy and absolutely freezing day in Bradford.
Oh, yeah, and then you've got a barometer.
One of the things I discovered when I was reporting this piece is that people who like drones really like drones. Ian has been filing Freedom of Information requests to local police forces since early 2018. His aim was to kind of show that while these instances might happen, it's basically pretty rare and there's a lot of anxiety where there doesn't need to be.
I just thought journalists would be out there asking questions. A lot of this would just come out in the wash, but it would just kind of...
And he, like everyone I met who flies drones, is really enthusiastic about the possibilities. Things like taking medicine into hard-to-reach areas or assisting with fire and rescue operations. So they see them as a kind of amazingly transformative technology. Although in reality, what lots of hobbyists actually use their drones for is taking photos. So they take really amazing pictures from really, really high up and kind of stunning landscapes and so on. But there is this kind of enthusiasm, but perhaps defensiveness, I think.
Most people, once you explain to them, look, I'm not snooping in your back window.
Because people feel like drones are negative and suspicious because they're a new technology.
Because some people are kind of a bit negative.
Did Ian try to find out what had happened at Gatwick?
Yes, he did. So a few months after the incident, Ian started filing FOI requests with Sussex Police. And his first one was focused on an inconsistency that he'd picked up in the publicly available tweets and photos that different journalists and Sussex Police had been putting up. And that was around this military counter-drone system. So it was up and running from 10 p.m. and the system didn't pick anything up. But on that night, the Sussex Police Twitter feed had reported clusters of sightings after 10 p.m. and for quite a while afterwards had said that those were credible sightings that had been corroborated because they'd been spotted by multiple people. So Ian's line of thinking was, are they actually credible or not?
And did he hear anything back?
No, he did not. Public bodies have to respond within a certain amount of time, and often they just refuse and they say this is going to take too much time to get this information, or it's a national security risk or whatever. But Sussex Police has just consistently not responded at all. And I actually saw that myself. I put in my own Freedom of Information request.
Oh, really?
Back in the spring, I think it was, spring or early summer, and I had a confirmation of receipt and then nothing, not even a refusal.
What does that say to you?
Well, is, you know, it's certainly not very transparent, let's say that.
Coming up, did the Gatwick drones actually exist? Samira, it's 2 years since the drone crisis at Gatwick. What stage is the case at now?
The case was closed officially on the 27th of September 2019. And in the just under a year that the investigation was ongoing, police had knocked on 1,200 doors, they'd taken 222 witness statements, and they'd identified 96 persons of interest. The investigation had involved five different police forces, and it had cost £800,000.
Oh, wow.
But it was formally closed, and the police said that without new information coming to light, there are no further realistic lines of inquiry.
What have Gatwick and other airports done to stop this from happening again?
Well, they've invested in counter-drone systems. That happened quite soon after the shutdown. Gatwick and Heathrow both spent millions apiece on counter-drone systems, which weren't in place before.
Do we have any idea now if there really were any drones at Gatwick that night?
I think that there isn't any evidence that there were. So this is a really heavily monitored patch of land. There were a lot of people there, including professional photographers. I spoke to one news photographer, Eddie Mitchell, who was there covering it. And he also happens to be a licensed drone pilot. So he's got a license from the Civil Aviation Authority to fly drones commercially, which he sometimes does as a cameraman. Sometimes he does it for official bodies like the Fire Brigade. And he was there and he described to me thinking he'd seen the drone. He started snapping away and he really thought, yes, I've got it. Great. And, you know, every newspaper wanted to get this shot. So he really thought he could probably, this would be quite lucrative. And then when he loaded the picture up on his computer and saw it on a bigger screen, he realised that he'd actually made a mistake and the image didn't show a drone. It was actually a helicopter that was hovering quite far away. Between the darkness and the distance, it was basically his eyes had played a trick on him. And he said at that point he started to have real doubts about whether there were any drones at all. The human eye is quite bad at identifying something that's in motion and far away and small. You know, I mean, most people are quite poorly equipped to tell the difference between a drone and a faraway helicopter, let alone between a rogue drone and a police drone. And that was the first time I really thought, wow, maybe this was just a big case of human error.
And what is your best guess as to what happened? Have you heard any plausible theories?
There were all sorts of conspiracy theories online. So some people say the incident was a setup by companies selling counter-drone systems wanting to market their products. Some people say it was a cover-up for a bigger cyber attack on the airport. Some people say it was staged to bring down the share price ahead of a Gatwick share sale, which was happening the following week. But I think from my reporting on it, what seems to me the most plausible explanation is also the most simple one, which is that whether or not the original drone sightings were genuine or not. Certainly at some stage of this, there was human error and confirmation bias. You're under drone attack, so you're looking at the sky and you're looking for drones, and so you're much more likely to identify any kind of light or flying object or whatever it is and think that must be a drone. And, you know, that kind of escalated it.
So although there might not have been any drones at Gatwick at all, what do you think this whole episode says about us and what might we learn from it?
I think that it definitely showed how desperate we are for resolution and quick answers. And the way that this story took off so quickly across the news media, social media, etc., it just kind of took on a life of its own. And I think that's when you kind of have that momentum. It's almost like the kind of rationality goes out of the window. And that's why you see these quite heavy-handed policing, perhaps in the days afterwards with the couple who are arrested. It probably tells us something about the news infrastructure that we live in, I suppose, and this kind of drive for more detail and so on, and maybe a broader discomfort with uncertainty. And also, of course, with new technologies that we don't understand.
Is this then Gatwick's very own Loch Ness monster?
Well, that's certainly what lots of drone hobbyists say. They say there's more evidence for the Loch Ness monster than for the Gatwick drones.
Samira, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Samira Shackle. In response to this story, Sussex Police told us a criminal investigation supported by a range of national experts concluded that at least two drones were behind the attack at Gatwick. This was a deliberate act that endangered airport operations, and protecting public safety remained at the forefront of the multi-agency response. You can find Samira's excellent long read about the Gatwick drones at theguardian.com, where you can also follow what has been happening in a big week for the Brexit negotiations. Our colleagues Lisa O'Carroll and Daniel Boffey are covering every twist and turn. Today's episode was produced by Rose Dalarabiti and myself. Sound design was by Nicholas Alexander. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson. We'll be back tomorrow.